get it. And then get our Brock could have fucking let it slide so bad, you know. I didn't seem to know what he was doing anymore. I don't know what's up.
Did you do anything special to get prepared for the event? Did you listen to Space Ritual or Do Re Mi or?
Well, I know the songs. I know them. It's him that's forgotten them.
Who forgot them?
Dave Brock. Yeah.
So you didn't have to.
He rearranged all the old songs and made them into medleys, you know. Medleys are my greatest hits, you know, the Kiss of Fucking Death, right? A medley. And that's what he does. He in the middle of Master of the Universe, he's got a section of Born to Go now. Not Born to Go, around the time we left, right? And I didn't learn it like that. I learned it as two good songs, not one and a half bad ones. You know, and then it was his idea to put Sam Fox on to sing Master of the Universe, which is such an unbelievable idea, I can't even grasp it. You know, I just don't understand that at all. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Do you?
No, I have no idea. The only entertaining thing was when she was making a few thrusts at you and you were smiling quite a lot.
Well, it was funny, you know.
But it sounds like that. It wasn't such a great memory.
Oh, she's all right. I like Sam, you know, I've known her for years. She's not the one to be singing much in the end.
No, definitely not. It was interesting how the event went through all the different kind of people playing and stuff. Did you particularly talk with Hugh Lloyd Langton at all? Did he seem like he was pissed drunk because his performance was really poor?
I told him lots of conundrum in my songs. He wasn't in the band when I was. So he shouldn't be on my songs, you know. And there's an enormous twiddle factor with you, you know. You could play it, but he's too twiddly for me, you know. It wouldn't have fit on the songs we used to do with me involved in there, you know, because Brock used to do the lead on there. He had a fat chance of him doing any now, apparently. Didn't seem to give a shit, you know. I think it overwhelmed him in a way. There's too much shit to organize, so he couldn't do it. And he didn't delegate any of it. So, there you go. Too bad.
Did you talk with any of the old guys like Dell and people who you played with back
then? Of course I did, man. How would you expect? And they brought Dell all the way from Canada for that.
Yeah. It's a long way. Because I'd heard that I don't know if you knew Adrian Shaw at all, but I heard that
he turned it down, didn't he?
Well, he came to one rehearsal and was apparently the vibe was just so unorganized.
You come to another rehearsal. Yeah, they've been rehearsing a couple of times. Adrian was only in the band about 3 weeks anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a short period of time for sure. What can you remember about the very first Motorhead show 25 years ago?
So it was awful. The Larry Wallace Lucas Fox lineup was pretty bad, you know. And we were doing a lot of covers. We were supporting Greenslade, of all things. You know. And this blue painted skull on top of my head, a real skull that somebody found somewhere. He says, there he was, you know.
Have you ever heard any recordings from that concert?
No, there weren't any. If I do find any, I'll burn them. It's truly awful.
Because I went to London, and actually for the Hawkestra, and also to see Motorhead. I've been a Motorhead fan since 79.
See, the Motorhead gig wasn't that great either. People say, wow, it was fantastic. It wasn't. You know, we played like a bunch of cunts, you know. Best thing on there was Brian May.
Yeah, the only thing that was unfortunate was you couldn't really hear him.
No, it's all right though. He shot to the front, didn't he? He was really getting into it there.
Yeah, he really was getting into it.
Good for Brian, I say. He'd been off the road a long time, you know.
So he's a fan of Motorhead, Brian May?
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Why?
Yeah.
Can your brain not cope with two different kinds of music
of course,
at the same
yeah,
time?
Of course. I just think of Brian May as, I don't know, this Cream thing.
But well, yeah, he was. Yeah. But he likes other stuff too.
He's an awful guitar player. A great guitar player.
Yeah. He's awesome, yeah.
Well, Queen played some quite heavy stuff in the early 70s.
Yeah,
so.
Damn right they did.
And you did a cover of Tie Your Mother Down or some vocals?
Queen tribute album.
Yeah. When you were putting together the 25th anniversary concert in London, did you try to get hold of some of the guys who weren't there, like Filthy or...
Filthy can't get out of America and go back in, because he's there illegal, you know. So he's had it, kind of, for coming out and doing things like that.
Larry Wallace or Brian Robertson or any of these?
But Brian Robertson was not a great asset to Motorhead in his time. He was a great asset to Thin Lizzy. He didn't do shit with us, you know. Played good on one side of them. He did a good album, but he fucked up so badly it's almost unbearable to think about it. You know. So Wurzel, you know, he fucked up as well. He was there.
Yeah.
It's awful, man. It looked like a little old man. It's a drag, you know.
Because I remember reading an interview with Brian Robertson and him saying that the first parts of being in Motorhead were really great when you recorded the record, but then...
Well, that was the last part. He was in the band nearly a year before he did the album.
But he said that you guys drove him to drink too much.
Oh, yeah, right. Brian, we drove him to drink.
That's what he said in the interview. Motorhead drove him to become a worse alcoholic.
He was the worst alcoholic, but he was that before he joined Motorhead. That's not the reason we asked him to join. He was alcoholic.
Has Motorhead always been super loud from the beginning? How did you kind of start being loud? I mean, was the...
I like it loud, yeah.
I mean, was Hawkwind especially loud?
The road I was in.
Because that's what I had read.
I was brought up on the Who and people and Hendrix, and I like being loud. It's good to helps you to see the iguanas in your eyeballs.
I read that you have a book coming out in January, this White Line Fever.
Supposedly, yeah.
How did that come together? Is that...
Oh, it's just people kept going, do a book, you'll make a lot of money. You know? I'm a deathbed yet, that's when you should write your book, isn't it? When you die, right? But then you might not have time, so I've got to do it now.
Did you write it?
A bunch of interviews, you know, and she collated the interview stuff and edited it, you know. This girl, you know, Janice Garza.
Okay. Does it go through your whole musical history from Rocking Vickers to Sam Gofalt?
The book's about me, like, yeah, so it goes through all of it.
Okay.
Childhood, the love.
Speaking of Sam Gofalt.
Ah.
A friend of mine wanted me to ask you about Sam Gopal related stuff, if there was ever any kind of jam connection with Sam Gopal and Jimi Hendrix, or...
No, Sam and Jimi, no.
Did you know that he has a new CD, Sam Gopal?
No.
He just put out a new CD this year.
Is he really?
And he's got a... What's this guy named? Clark Hutchinson?
Oh, he got them two back. They were in the original band.
Yeah. Only one of them is playing. On the CD.
Pete.
Yeah, it's not Mick.
No.
No, it's not Mick. But it's kind of interesting that 30 years after he finally puts out a...
Yeah. So they finally got along. Enough to make a fucking album. Right?
Yeah, I was curious if you had heard that.
No, I haven't. I'm not even sure I want to, really. Sam was very hard to play with. You know, I mean, his instrument, probably all right now because you can amplify different things now. At the time, amplifying tablas was like a fucking nightmare, you know. Way back then, there's no way. Boom, boom, boom.
Did Sam Gopal play a lot of concerts?
We did. One show at the Speak. When we got a standing ovation, we thought those were stars. We played about three other shows in and around London, which were awful, and then we went to Munich and played for a week at the Blow Up Club, which was even worse. And then we came home and broke up.
Okay, so not a lot of concerts. I guess no one probably recorded any of these concerts.
I would hope not, sincerely.
is there a lot of regrets? Sometimes?
No, I don't regret anything. You know, it's all part of life's rich tapestry. You know? It's just that you got to know when you fucked up, that's all. You know, you don't amplify things that were terrible in the first place. You know?
To just move on and look forward.
Yeah, right. Get out of the shit and dress yourself down, start all over again, right? You know, and I'm pleased with what we've done with Motorhead, but before that, and with Hawkwind Rise, before that was a shambles.
Yeah, when you were in Hawkwind, they actually toured a lot. You guys played hundreds of gigs every year.
Yeah. Same as you do with Motorhead.
Yeah.
All the real bands do tour. If you don't get them again, you've got to take it to the people and see if they return it to you with a fucking tick on it. You know, otherwise you ain't the band at all.
Yeah, I mean that's what rock. That's rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, I am rock and roll. Rock and roll is me. It's a paraphrase of Napoleon.
Rock and roll.
Well, why not? You know, something you got to do. It's a dirty job.
Yeah, yeah.
A friend of mine who's a bass player who plays Rickenbacker, very inspired by you, wanted me to ask you what pickups you used in your bass before the signature model.
I had several. I tried Bartolini's, they weren't bad. I tried the original bass, which I swore by for years, had an old Gibson Thunderbird pickup on it. I'm going to sit down somewhere. Denmark Street. You can get them now, like, you know. And what else did I use? Something else as well. Bartolini's. And that Thunderbird were the most important, probably, I think. Joint Fenders, they didn't work. Because the thing with Rickenbacker in those days, excuse me, was that you had to replace the pickups, so, because they were crap.
Yeah, crap stock pickups.
But they're good now.
Yeah, you have a great sound.
Some motherfucker that bass. That signature on you.
Yeah, they look like they did a fantastic job with it.
Yeah, I designed it. So, why wire all the controls into the one switch? He said, I can't do that. I said, why not? He said, it's a signature model. He said, yeah. Oh, it's my signature.
This, I'm just going to ask this because a friend of mine in the U.S., he hung out with you back in 74 at the Academy of Music in New York City, and he asked me if you remember sitting in the balcony with a bunch of freaks smoking J's and getting every Usher flashlight in the house into your face whenever you would light up a joint. The freak you sat next to was an acid-rapping guy with a huge black afro and amazing amounts of Hawkwind knowledge.
I don't remember it at all, but I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
You weren't supposed to remember much in those days, so that was the idea of not remembering it. There's a funny show there, because Kahootek was supposed to come over the comet. And they had all these guests, like we had Focus there and Alice Cooper and Stokes. Hundreds of Stevie Wonder. We all went out on the roof to watch this amazing spatial fucking manifestation. The fucking went over, but you couldn't see it. It was too far away, it was cloudy as well, so we were fucked. So I was standing there.
What are we supposed to do?
Should we go again now? And, you know, oh dear, how awkward. Most embarrassing.
Do you remember playing here in Copenhagen with Hawkwind in the 73? That there's a place called Huset?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Vaguely. Just a show on the tour, that was a big tour. We played 5 gigs in Denmark at that time.
5 gigs?
Yeah, we played Kolding and Aarhus. And 2 others, I forget what they were.
Yeah, maybe Aalborg or...
What was that one?
Aalborg?
No.
Or Roskilde or...
No.
No.
They were on the islands.
Esbjerg or...
Esbjerg, yeah.
Yeah, Esbjerg. Odense, maybe?
Odense, that's it. Was there too.
Okay.
In gymnasiums and things, yeah. In the 70s, Denmark didn't understand about rock and roll at all.
No,
still
don't. In some ways, they still don't.
You're playing on the floors, no stage, you know, in the gymnasium. That was in Odense, yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And, you know, in Auckland as well, and it's bad enough it was Motorhead. Because at least you recognize some semblance of, like, the music you've always heard, you know. I mean, Auckland must have got a really fucking rat's ass to land. I wonder how we ever got out of the country alive, really. Burned as witches.
Do you remember anything about the Hawkwind recording sessions? Because I had read that for, like, Doremi, when the recording sessions, that a lot of the songs had developed out of kind of longer jams that occurred, and then of course the time we left would be 7 minutes or something instead of what maybe had been 20 minutes in the studio.
I would do a lot of longer versions on stage of everything. But the only thing I remember about Do Re Mi is that we recorded it in the band before it was modernised, you know, mattresses on the walls and things. But like, that was a good sound, but it wasn't very well recorded, as far as I was concerned. It was very thin and tinny, the album, you know. It wasn't as good as In Search of Space, like. But then I wasn't on that sound.
Have you heard any of these EMI remasters of the Hawkwind CDs?
No.
Because the Space Ritual and the X In Search of Space, this Paul, what was his name, the guy who was the producer, he went back into the master tapes and remixed these for these limited EMI with the big full
basket. Did you do Do Re Mi?
Yeah, he did Do Re Mi also.
He just did that. I think Space Ritual was about as good as it gets anyway.
But these ones, really, he did a fantastic job, because a lot of the real subtleties of the synthesizer sounds and kind of the muddleness of the way the bass comes through the sound was really much more forceful in the remixes. It wasn't clean, but it was much more powerful in the way.
Job making it clean.
Yeah, definitely.
And we can't find it. Sure, it's not at the hotel.
What?
Right, sir.
It's in a plastic bag in the back.
Because I looked through all the plastic bags. You sure you brought it with you? Here, yes. Inside the hotel.
I brought it down the lobby, at least. That's a thought.
No, you only had your briefcase, I think, when you came down.
Oh, you had the plastic bag, but you didn't bring it?
No, I never took it. No, I had the cooler. Can't find
it. It's at the hotel.
I had the cooler. That's all I had in my hand.
Okay. I give up then. I wish to plead incompetence.
So
he gets a razor up fill and a disposable.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Moving on to what?
Yeah, back to Motorhead then. How do you go about deciding what old songs you're going to play? I noticed when I was in London you played Damage Case, and that really surprised me.
Yeah, you did that tonight. We put another old one in today from years ago. I'm not going to tell you which one it was.
I heard it.
I
heard it the sound check, so.
Yeah. We only know. We got surprised. Yeah.
But you played like Dead Men Tell No Tales, and have you guys ever played Stone Dead Forever with Phil and Mickey?
Yeah, it didn't work out really.
No.
Some lineups play a song and that's it. No other lineup can. And that's why we have trouble with Another Perfect Day, because we played Shine for a bit.
Okay.
Didn't it never really sounded right.
Yeah, because I know some people who really, really like Another Perfect Day a lot.
It was the filthy part. Mickey can't play the filthy bit because Filthy wasn't a very good drummer, see? So, and Mickey can't let go down to that level, you know, and play it as it was. You know, he plays his version of it, which is super slick, you know.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Did you like Another Perfect Day? I mean, as a songwriting album? And
yeah, I was fucking outraged when it got panned. Like, well, that shows how much the critics are now, isn't it?
That's a great
20 album. Years later, the same critics are saying, oh, what a diamond in the rough, you know, and all that bullshit, you know. As usual, fucking assholes hindsight. Everybody's fucking clever with hindsight, isn't it?
Does the lawn still die if Motorhead moves next door?
I pinched that line off Dr. Hook in the medicine show. So much for originality. Let alone pathos.
Okay, just a couple more questions about what's your opinion about what's the chaos in the US election now that you live in the US?
You can't even run an election between two fucking people. It shouldn't be that difficult, really, should it? Yeah. All these idiots are saying, well, I was confused, I didn't know which was right. I mean, I looked at that form, I can see which one it is, right? Can you? Hole, right?
That's right, it's not very difficult.
Yeah.
Punch one hole, not two holes.
Yeah, right. Three is right out, you know. if it's, and that woman person out voting forms who said to them, the people, this is a phone call they got sometime on the night that it started to fuck up, you know. And this guy said, he went up to this woman and got the form, and as he took it, she said, "God wants you to vote for George Bush."
God.
This is fucking a woman passing out the voting forms in the place. You know, talk about, you know, unbiased. You know.
God wants you to vote for George.
You know, even if he does, I'll make up my own fucking mind if you don't mind, you know. Like.
Mm. Yeah, I guess they don't know. Did he officially get in?
No, not yet. I think tonight is...
They've got lawsuits now trying to stop people voting. What exactly is that?
The U.S. has become a very strange model of democracy.
It's become a caricature of itself. You know.
It's never been a democracy. No. How is it to live in the United States? Because from where I have never been there, it seemed like a semi-fascist country. And
yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But the people don't realize it because they keep telling themselves that God wants them to be that way. Mm. And God's the biggest fascist of all, isn't he? Let's face it. Yeah. I am the Pope, you will obey, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just think America's like a mess. It's got nobody to fight now, see, that people can't gird their loins against the enemy anymore, because there isn't one. I mean, Saddam Hussein, they had an enemy there for a minute, and they stopped 50 miles short of fucking Baghdad. What was that? You know, I'd like to be the guy in the wall the day that deal went down. Let's see what he offered them. You know, Jesus.
Yeah, well, I wonder when they're going to start deciding, though, to actually spend some money to reform the schools and give everybody health insurance.
Well, they'll never do that.
No.
It's not the way they work. There may actually be a revolution of sorts in America someday soon, because, I mean, people are just sick to death of the government as it is. But then again, they're so fucking spineless when it comes to things like that, you know. You know, the boss is the boss, you know, and that's it. Yes, sir. I'm sure you know best, sir.
Yeah, well, I've been living...
We know what's best for you.
Well, I've been living in Denmark for 3.5 years now. I'm originally from California.
You don't miss it?
No, not at all. I don't. I really enjoy living in Scandinavia.
Yeah. Well, Denmark's not really Scandinavia. Denmark's kind of a bit to the bottom there. I don't class Denmark as being part of Scandinavia because, like, Norway and Sweden are Scandinavia, you know. All that backpacking and bullshit, you know. I mean, the Danes are quite, like, I don't know, lax as far as physical exercise is concerned.
Well, everyone rides bikes everywhere, so.
Yeah, I know they do, yeah. They eat a lot of ice cream, too, you know.
That's right, and drink a lot of beer.
It's got a lot of giants.
Denmark's all right, man. Denmark's a good laugh. Denmark's kind of. Cross between like Germany and England, you know, it's like, all right, you know, fun. Pity about the old Queen Mother, eh?
Yeah.
She was big news here, wasn't she?
Yeah, but you know how it is, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know ours is 100 years old, she's on her way soon, yeah.
Yeah.
She don't give a fuck either, she's still drinking and betting on the horses, what the fuck?
Yeah, they say 2 bottles of gin every day.
That's what they say. Awesome. I don't think it's true, but that's what they say. I'm sure she's had to cut down to 1 bottle. The orders of a doctor, you know.
Yeah. Still less than Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah.
Boris Yeltsin was so fucked up. I mean, to see that man was in charge of the second most powerful nation on earth is freaking frightening.
No, Ronald Reagan was in charge for 8 years in the United States.
Yeah, but he wasn't really in charge. He was just kind of a talking head. George Bush and Oliver North and all those guys were really running the show.
Yeah, the wife. Yeah.
Nancy Reagan was running.
Yeah.
According to her astrologer.
She was in charge. I have a few questions. On Orgasmatron, you start singing in harmonies in some of the songs.
Well, we did a few harmonies before that. I mean, just doubling mostly. But yeah.
And then you stop again.
No.
No?
The harmonies on every album. But since then.
It was more obvious then. Maybe it was because I was surprised then.
Yeah, maybe it's because it was the first time. But I did harmonies on songs before that. Killed by Death was harmonies, which is before I got them. There's, let's see what else. In the old days, there was like doubles, a lot of doubles on harmonies on the recording and studio stuff. But you wouldn't have noticed that so much. It was just to give it more flesh, like the voice. Because I have actually a pretty weak voice. I just have to force it. That's why it becomes rough, you know. But it's very high, my voice. If you try and sing along with it, you're out of trouble, you know. Mm. I have to clutch your gonads and jump up and down a bit.
And then, what was that? Not Sacrifice, the album before?
Bastard.
Bastard, you did the song about incest.
Tell you kiss me, uh-huh. Yeah.
And people were kind of shocked. Because that was
sorry about that.
Yeah, people are always shocked about incest. That's the big taboo. But
and it's amazing, isn't it? Where like 3/4 of people in the world are involved in it.
Yeah, it happens. But that was a very different song, and then you, I don't know, it sounded like that you moved into new territory to try new things.
Yeah. Summer 1916.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There wasn't even a guitar in that.
Great album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big favorite of people from the early 90s.
Mm.
But you mentioned that before, that the critics hated your albums, and then after some years, they say that was
a classic.
It'd be like Vincent van Gogh, man. The poor cunt couldn't buy a loaf of bread when he was alive. You know what I mean? What, $550 million?
For
a painting of a vase of flowers. I don't give a fuck how good it is. No vase of flowers is that fucking good. You know. I've got news for you, idiots. You know. It's like these wine tasting parties, isn't it? You know. Ah, yes, the south side of the valley. Very good, yeah, yes. No, the beer actually was no good. What the fuck are you talking about? Does it taste all right or what? Oh, the bouquet, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit. Fucking garbage, man.
Mm.
Pointless, is it potent and does it taste good? Otherwise, fucking throw it down the toilet wherever it is, you know. Mm. I don't give a fuck what side of the valley it came from, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bottle of wine, you know what I mean? It's not that important in the scheme of things, you know. It's like gourmet chefs, you know, the same fucking thing, all that nouveau cuisine. You know, arrange nice. Well, that's nice, man. Have you got any food as well?
<You know? laughs> One little piece of shrimp in the middle of
it. I know, yeah, no, a tasteful piece of fucking lettuce leaf already, that bollocks, fuck off. That's decadence, you see, that's what it is. That's what that is. It's the signs of the society breaking down. People start with shit like that, you know. And modern art is another one, although I may be pilloried for saying so. I think most modern art is a con. In fact, I'm sure it is, you know, because most of it, a 4-year-old child could do better, you know.
Well, they had some monkey or ape or something, or chimp that was painting things that was selling for millions of dollars in New York or something?
Oh, they had this guy, some British TV, was it Game for a Laugh, was it? That guy, right?
Maybe.
And you got this guy to pose as a new painter from the South America, right? And you got 5 people from like Woolco or somewhere, or Marks and Spencer. So. And you took him out of the scrapyard and gave him all a big load of paint and canvases, and you said, do it, you know. And they rode bicycles over the fucking things and rolled around on them, you know. And then they dried up and they put them on these easels, and this guy poses as the new artist. They threw a champagne and sausage on a stick pie for him, you know. And they were all there, and like, there was one. There was one fucking canvas and it had all these fucking big handprints down one side like that. And then all these like wires crossed on the other side. And this art critic woman was going, well, I think what the artist is trying to convey here is that the past, which is the open-handed sense of the Indian for I come in peace, you know, and then juxtaposed with the confusions and uncertainties of the 20th century, you know. And this guy pops on and goes, Game for Ushman, oh shit.
That's right, end of your career.
Caught stormed. Fucking
that's
storm.
Great.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Odd, man.
You know, wonderful. Oh, shit. A minute ago, she'd been like, you know, the confusions of the 20th century. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
career down the drain, aye.
Man, fuck you.
See how much you know? You know, shit.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Almost that you should have played the other day. That was cancelled. How come? I just heard.
We put it back though. We played it in about 2 weeks, I think.
Okay, so it's just.
I was sick for 4 days. We just had to reschedule some shows. We did the ones in Germany already.
So there's just...
That seems to be your biggest market in the world, is Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they buy a lot of records, you see, in Germany. It's bigger than it seems to be in relation to the area. They buy a lot of albums in Germany. And they're loyal, too, you know. They find themselves able to like a new thing and keep liking the old thing, whereas Britain and America can't do that. They have to throw everything out before, you know, go with a new thing for the 3 weeks of its life, you know.
That's right.
And throw that out too and start again.
The next Spice Girls or whatever's the flavor of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and England learned it from America, you know, that attitude. So, what do you expect, you know, the one. So you got a decent school in California?
Yeah, definitely. I went to UC Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I definitely got a very good education.
They don't encourage you to learn difficult shit, though, do they? You know?
I don't know. I ended up getting a PhD, so I'm a doctor.
Yeah, maybe they did then. Yeah, maybe they did.
So
then.
I was very pressed.
Because you know they took geography out of the syllabus 8 years ago.
I didn't know that. I mean,
geography
was, when I was a kid in
geography,
high school. High school was my favorite subject, actually.
Took geography out. How the fuck can you deal with the world if you don't know where it is?
Yeah. No, it's true. I bet you if you asked, 8 out of 10 kids wouldn't be able to point Denmark out on a map,
no,
probably.
I met a girl who thought England was part of Georgia. And not Georgia in Russia, Georgia in the States.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Maybe you can understand the other one.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I called... I still have a bank account.
And out Denmark, Jesus Christ, you'd be lucky if they could point out Europe.
Yeah, bank account.
No, I don't smoke either.
Yeah, if they could point out their own country. Did you went on tour with Nashville Pussy and you collaborated with a new album? Was it?
I didn't collaborate with the new album.
But you were in the cover, but you were sitting in that electric chair.
Little joke thing.
Yeah, okay. And asked for Corey as your last wish. Isn't that Corey?
Kind of last wish was hold my hand.
No. Yeah. But how was the tour? Because I talked with them last year. They were very excited going on tour with you guys.
They were great, you know. Then they fired Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they fucked. Because she was the bit you noticed.
She's left or what?
They fired her.
Oh dear.
It was her fault, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it's both their faults. They should have both shut up and let the fucking band be the most important thing except for petty fucking rivalries and differences.
Yeah.
It's always difficult to get people to do that. They don't understand how it is when the band's gone. Because when you're in the band, no matter how bad off you are with the other people, it's still ongoing thing and you're still famous, right? And you think, well, when I leave, everybody will like me just as much as they did when I was in the band, because I'm part of the band that they like so much now, you know, so obviously they'll stick with me. And you leave, and nobody gives a fuck about you, you know. And I learned that a long fucking time ago, man.
Yeah, you've seen that with people you work with.
Well, you see, Corey's left the band, she's doing nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. Sleeping on people's couches.
That's fair.
And shit, and that woman is a star, you know. The two women in Nashville Pussy are both stars. I think they feel kind of bad about Corey not being there. They had this gay young girl from Atlanta who's like dark and small. It's not going to do it, is it?
No.
I'm not doing the same. Is this a business of bitterness and, I don't know,
I'm sorry?
Is this a business of bitterness, rock and roll, the music business?
No, it's not. It's a business of joy, mostly. It's just that now and again you have to have bitterness to remind you how joyful you are. Yeah.
Mm.
That's how it works.
There's a lot of sharks trying to fuck out.
Without any manure, you'd get no flowers, you see what I mean?
That's how
Well, you've had a lot of ups and downs with different record companies. I guess dealing with Sony was probably, with the March or Die, must have been the worst, though.
Well, they were fucking the worst, yeah, they were the pits. I mean, we got nominated for a Grammy with our first album for them, and we were supposed to be a spent force, so they were picking up out of their kindness of their hearts and shit. And we got nominated for a Grammy, the first album, and the motherfucker, when I went to the ceremonies, the guy, Tommy Mottola, never even came out and said hello to me. Because we're Motorhead, you know. Well, too bad for him. I see Mariah Carey left him and snatched his fucking house from his car. couldn't have too nice a guy.
Did you ever perform with Shonen Knife?
No.
No?
Just on the record.
Just on the record? So I was just curious if maybe you had shown up at one of their shows and sung backing vocals or anything.
No. I believe I was supposed to once when they played the Roxy in Hollywood, but I didn't do it again. I think they cancelled that, actually. They did all right, I thought. It was three small Japanese girls.
Yeah.
I met them and they were bouncing up and down. They're so funny, the Japanese are little tiny people. Remy, you know. I killed the Japanese accent, by the way, last time we were in Japan. I said to this chick, what do you talk like that? She said, well, we can't say our L's are our R's. I said, okay, we'll say Remy. She went, let me go. Didn't catch on, though, anyway.
So you have any surprises for your 55th anniversary? On the 50th, Metallica came out and did a disguised set in Los Angeles, I remember.
It wasn't that good of a disguise, actually. I think most people knew it.
Yeah, they all dressed up as Lemmy.
With the tattoo on the wrong arm. Everyone.
Yeah.
That was nice of them to do that, though, man. They're the only ones who have actually shown any respect at all, physically. They interrupted their album recordings, come down and did that. Threw their equipment down on their own money, you know. Great, man. That's great. Awesome. I like Metallica. I think they're an excellent band. I think people overlook them now. I think they've become too successful, maybe, for their own good, you know. People have thought there had to be a backlash eventually. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, and they also kind of get sucked into it now because they're so popular.
But they're right about that Napster bullshit, man. That fucking idiot from Limp Bizkit. Yeah, please steal my money. You know.
There's quite an argument about Napster, though. I mean, a lot of
there is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Not from my side.
No.
It depends where you stand.
You want to put out free records? You destroy my career. I can't get paid for my work. If you hire a plumber and he fixes your pipes and he's leaving, I'd say, well, bye then, thanks a lot. He wants his money, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
But don't you think it's because of the industry? People think, fuck the industry.
Oh, I say fuck the industry, I always have, but you pay me for what I do. Motherfucker, else you're in a lot of trouble, isn't it? You know, if I was sitting around for years and years learning to write songs, because it is a craft, you know, it's not just throwaway shit. The record companies make it throwaway, but it isn't. You know, every song I've done, I'm fairly proud of. Some of them less than others, but all the same. If I sit there all night and write a song and you go to bed and sleep, then I get paid and you fucking don't. And that's the story right there, you know.
Infant story.
But I think it'll have to go another year or so and actually see if the major artists, do they actually sell less CDs? Because the argument for...
Well, of course they will. If you can get it for free, why would you buy it?
Yeah, but it's... what you're getting for free is really sub-quality. I mean...
It is?
Yeah. And these MP3 files, they don't really sound that great.
No.
I don't know, I don't have a computer.
So, I mean, have someone play you one of the Motorhead songs off Napster that's an MP3 file. And the people who are the real fan, who buy most of the CDs, they're going to still buy it. They're not going to download it from Napster because...
So why did they download in the first place?
Because they want to hear it first.
It's a snack.
They want to hear it right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think...
Yeah. It's going to replace a lot of sales, though. And we ain't got that many sales to start with, you know. We ain't exactly the biggest selling band on the planet.
But maybe in the future you don't need the industry. You could sell your albums directly on the internet, for example.
Well, yeah, we could, but not while Napster's doing it as well.
No, because
we ain't got the money to put behind it.
Napster's has been bought by BMG, that German multi...
BMG bought it. That's the end of that, then.
Yeah.
So now you have to pay.
No, they just bought it to put it out of business.
Yeah.
No, to have a...
Regulate it.
Yeah, to sell, yeah.
Kind of way the American
but it depends.
Ford and GM bought all the patents for electric cars in the 70s.
That's right.
No, it's true, they did.
Yeah, they did.
All those companies bought all the patents for all the electric cars so that...
For everything. Yeah. There was one guy invented an engine that ran on distilled water once. I remember when I was a kid, the plans of it were in the News of the World one Sunday. And then you never heard anything else left of the rubbish. Right, it's gone.
That's right, they buried it. And of course, the US government is in full support of these big businesses because they.
Well, there they are, because they pay for all those stupid elections every 4 years.
$3 billion US dollars spent this time.
I know. Why? Why?
And they still don't even know who won.
I know.
They still can't decide.
What is that? I mean, you spend that much money, I'd want a better return.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably put every kid in America through college for free for the next 10 years for that money.
And instead they cut geography out of the syllabus. Right? Okay, guys, we done?
Yep, we're done.
Yeah.
It was really nice. Can I get one signature?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Hey, when you played here last time, did I ask you about the commercial, the shaver commercial? With Ace of Spades, and you have never heard that they used that song? You played it with the...
For shaving?
There was a commercial.
Danish commercial that uses Ace of Spades.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we talked about you waiting on it for a taxi.
I never heard it.
No.
Remember this one?
Yeah, I remember all of the stuff I did.
Who's this woman?
She was a girl, friend of a girlfriend of mine. What's your name?
Scott. Thank you very much, Lemmy. It was really a pleasure. Yeah, do you remember this?
Oh, an English magazine. Can I steal it?
No, this is the one. This is the one that had you in it.
Yeah.
Maybe they let you.
Did they never sent you one?
No.
They didn't send you one? Fucking assholes.
That's a picture.
What is the filth doing these days?
I think he's a crack dealer.
Oh, shit.
I'm not sure, though.
But he's not playing drums?
No. So you can't get another one of these, of course, can you?
Oh, boy. It might be tough. I mean, this was their second issue, I guess. From a year or 2 years ago. Shit. I'd love to give it to you, but...
Ah, that's cool. Collector's item.
Yeah. Well, I'm also sorry to hear that the Hawkwind thing turned out to be such a fiasco when it could have been something.
Should have been something.
I mean, you had 3 or 4 rehearsals with...
Two.
But
none of them prepared me for the horror that was the reality.
Do you think they're actually going to go ahead with this video and actual release of the event? Because I think I think Nick Turner had arranged for a 24-track recording or something.
What the fuck are you going to do?
But I guess that means that you don't really plan on playing with Hawkwind again.
Well, not unless they rehearse it properly and get it right. Because I ain't going to do that again, that's for sure.
I don't think it's going to happen. Dave is turning 60, or maybe he's already 60 now. And
60, yeah.
There's rumors that he's planning to retire and move to New Zealand next year, so
yeah.
And hand over the Hawkwind.
Sheep farmer.
Yeah, hand over the Hawkwind over to Alan Davey.
Here.
Oh, yeah? Don't know about that. So his band at that thing, too.
Yeah, Bedouin? Have you ever heard his Motorhead cover band, Ace of Spades?
I've got a record on the bus. I should listen to it. I haven't got it actually yet.
Yeah, I'm curious. Do you know if they play old or new Hawkwind songs? I mean, Motorhead songs?
Old.
How can we shut this thing off?
Is there any particular...